Well, good evening, everybody. It's Brother Ron. Welcome to Northside Baptist Church. It's good to see you. Thank you for those of you who are joining us by radio. We're very grateful and thankful to have the Manis family with us today. And Brother Scott's going to bring our evening message. And Brother Scott's going, and his whole family, in fact, are going to Argentina. The missionaries are Argentina, sent out by Neville Chapel Missionary Baptist Church in East Texas, and longtime friends with them down there. So I pray that you'll be praying for them and listen as he lets us know about his work, how we can take part of it. If you want to take part of a mission work, you can contact him by www.argentinabaptist.org. Also, just remember, if you want counseling or ESL, we're fully funded, and you can contact me at 777broron@gmail.com. or call 325-573-0496 and either ask for me or Tammy. So without any further ado, I'm going to ask Brother Scott to come forward and share his work in Argentina. Let's remember to pray for him, and then he'll bring the word. And so, Brother Scott, take it away.
Well, thank you, Brother Ron. It sure is a pleasure to be here, and it's just great seeing what the Lord has been doing and just watching what God does each day in our lives when we let him work. What we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about the work that we're going to be doing down in Argentina, and then we're going to get into God's Word here in a moment, and looking forward to that. There's some things here in God's Word that have been on my heart that I am just been bursting out ready to share. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin talking about this. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your many blessings, and we thank you for watching over us and for always being there with us, leading and guiding and directing us, Lord, as only you can. And I pray that anyone listening to this voice, this radio, Lord, might hear your word and make the changes that they need to make. I pray that if there's somebody here listening that does not know you, that this would be the day that they come to know you, that they accept you, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to open up our hearts as we receive the Lord's word, and that our lives would be ever changed because of that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so before we get into the Word of God here, I'm just going to tell you a little about us and about what we're going to be doing. Again, my name is Scott Manis. My wife, Stacy, and I've got 6 kids and 1 on the way. My oldest son just started a seminary here a couple weeks ago. He has been out on his own for a whole of 2 months now. He's paid his first electric bill, first water bill. Pray for him. And my oldest daughter, 16 years old. My next daughter is 11. I got an 8-year-old boy, a 6-year-old boy, and a 4-year-old girl. And we have another one on the way in January. They are a blessing to me. Each one of them has their own talents, their own skills, things that they are good at, and ways that they're going to be using to contribute to the work. Again, that's my team. I'm taking them with me. We are all planning to go to Argentina. We plan on starting churches down in Argentina. There's a great need. We plan on starting in the city of Córdoba. It's centrally located in the middle of the country, and a lot of work to be done, a lot of things to be done. My goal is to go down and not just start one church and be the pastor of it. My goal is to go and start several churches and basically from the ground up train people to take those churches, that are called to preach, to take those churches and pastor those churches. And I would like the works to be self-supporting from the beginning. And so that's my goal, is to go down there and start a lot of churches, if the Lord will. And again, Brother Ron mentioned our website, www.argentinabaptist.org. That's our website. You can go on the website and click our email sign-up link on there and get our monthly email reports. And also, there's a calendar of events where all we're going to be. If we're in your area, you can come and listen or meet us in person. And we would love that. My email address is smanes at argentinabaptist.org. And again, we're sent out by Neville's Chapel Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And again, if you would like to contribute to that, you can just send a check addressed to Neville's Chapel Baptist Church in, for Argentina mission work. And that's P.O. Box 1334, Mount Pleasant, Texas, 75455. Again, P.O. Box 1334, Mount Pleasant, Texas, 75455. And again, please get on the email there, get on our website. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to talk about the work and just tell you about a little bit more about what we're going to be doing and where all we're going to be doing it. We've already took our survey trip. We, back in September 2014, gathered a ton of information. My wife and I both went, and just to see what it would cost to live there, what prices were on everything. And the goal we had was we wanted to talk to as many people as possible and gather as much information as possible. And again, the Lord opened up a bunch of doors. We have a God that can open up doors and no man can shut. And he can shut doors that no man can open. And it is great to see what God can do when he is in something. And we've been watching God do that very thing. Right now, we're in the process of raising our support. We're traveling around the country in an RV, my wife and kids and I, and sharing this passion with churches all over the country. And so we're going to be doing that. We're going to be in language school January 2018. We plan on being in Costa Rica for language school. We plan on being there for a year. And then going straight from there to Argentina. January 2019 is our goal for being in Argentina. We don't plan on being back in the States till September 2020. And we'll be back for short 4-month furlough where we will hit as many local association meetings for churches and the state meetings, as many as possible, and Christmas with the family, and then fly back down to start our second term. Goals for our first term are going to be to learn language. Very important to learn the culture. You need to learn the culture before ministering a place so you don't put your foot in your mouth. And I like to put my foot in my mouth, so I don't like to do that. So the next thing is just let the Lord make contacts and let the Lord lead and just see how great God is. And that's some of our goals for the first term. And again, coming back with that done, we plan on starting churches. That's what our goal is. And so without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into God's word. There's a message here in God's word in the book of 1 Kings. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. In 1 Kings chapter 16, it says, "In his days did Hiel the Bethlehemite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun." All right, so this verse here, again, is the completion of a prophecy that was started back in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 6, verse 26, says this. Joshua chapter 6 verse 26 says, "And Joshua adjured that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundations thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." Now, what had just happened in the book of Joshua was the fact that they had gone into the promised land. They had crossed across the Jordan River and they had taken Jericho. If you remember the story from maybe from Sunday school one day, or or just from reading your Bible, you know that they marched around the city that last day. They blew out their trumpets and the walls fell down flat, and they came in and took the city, and there was nothing left. I mean, they destroyed the city. The next, and they gave a warning saying, don't touch the accursed thing. If any man touches the accursed thing, it's going to be bad. And that's exactly what happened. They said they'd be a trouble to the people. The next chapter, in chapter 7 of Joshua, you see that very thing. There was a man named Achan, and he decided he would take of things that he wanted. God said, no, don't touch it. And he decided he would go against what God said and take these things. He saw, the Bible says in chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." And it was bad. It says Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent. It says, "And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it." Because of that, he was going to die. And that's exactly what happened. You can read the rest of the story. Joshua asked him in verse 25, he says, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire. and after they had stoned him with stones and raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of this place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And again, whatever your opinion on, you know, how that should happen. I mean, I trust the Bible. I believe it. You know, the Lord knows what he's doing. God said, this is what's going to happen. And you may not like it, but whatever God says is going to happen, that's what's going to happen. He says judgment's coming. One day there is going to be a day when every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord, the glory of God the Father. You may not like it. You may not like Jesus, but you know, you're going to bow to him one day. The better thing would be for you to repent of your sins now and trust him now and confess him as Lord here on this earth. So that way you're not forced to one day and it still avails you nothing, because whether you're in heaven one day or you're in hell, you're going to bow down to him. Now, in this case here, he said, don't touch this stuff. This man Achan decided he was going to do that very thing. And it troubled not only him, but his whole family. You are responsible for what happens in your family. If you mess up, it's going to affect your entire family. If you make the wrong decisions, you're going, as a man of the house, you are going to mess up your family. And I'm talking to the men of the house. Men, you need to stand up. You need to be the men God called you to be. You need to be men of valor. You need to be men of integrity, men who say, no, I'm not going to take dishonest gain. I'm not going to cheat on people that are trusting in me. I'm going to love the Lord with all my heart. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. You need to be the man that makes a decision in your home and you make a change. You need to be the kind of man that a woman can trust, that a woman can stand up and say, I believe he is going to lead me in the right way that God wants me to go, because he's trusting God. Achan was not that kind of man. He was a man that looked at what he wanted and he grabbed whatever was there for him. And that's what he wanted. And so if you're that kind of person, whatever you see, whatever you like, you grab, you try to take, you're going to wind up hurting yourself. You're going to hurt your family. You're going to hurt your kids. And one day when your body is spent, one day when you have no more strength, no more health, one day when you are elderly and there's no more strength in you, you're going to be miserable because of the choices you've made. Please don't go there. Make decisions for what God wants you to do. So that was Achan. He didn't trust what God says. And Joshua said, there's going to be coming a day when somebody else is going to trust what God says, and they're going to try to do their own thing as well. Verse 26 that I read says, Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. And so basically what he's saying, if somebody tries to build up the walls of the city, build up around it, fortify the city, he's going to do so at the life of his children. At when he lays the foundations of the walls of the fortifications, it's going to be with his firstborn son. And when he finishes the gates, again, when they set the gates of the walls, that's when they're finishing it up. He says they're going to finish it up with his youngest son. And so the implication there is that all of his kids in between are going to die. His kids are going to die somewhere in between setting up this project and doing this thing. So any wise person that believes the Bible, that believes the Lord, won't have anything to do with any type of fortification of Jericho. They're going to say, no way. I am not going to have any business with that, because I trust the promises of God. If you trust God, if you trust his word, there's going to be a lot of things in your life that it's just not, you're not going to do. You're not going to want to do, because you love the Lord, because you love what he says and what he's doing. And so, again, I mean, that was a very strong statement Joshua made. Now, 500 years after that, in the book of 1 Kings, the verse I'd read right at the beginning, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. Again, this is about 500 years later. We see somebody that did the very thing that Joshua said not to do, and he did it at a price. Verse 34 says, in his days did Hiel the Bethlehemite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Okay, now, this is a terribly sad verse, but it's a verse that I see all over the place. I see people doing this very thing. They sacrifice their family on the altar of success. They are looking for some type of earthly reward, and they neglect their family. They neglect the ones that God put them there to lead. If you're a man in your home, you are the one that should be setting an example for your kids, giving your wife somebody to trust, somebody to follow as you follow God. That's the goal. That's the plan. And again, men are not doing this today. And I don't want to say every man, because I know some men that are doing this, that are doing it right. It takes a lot of courage. It takes some gumption to stand up and be that man when the world runs the opposite way. But it is so worth it. Now, this man, Heel, did not do this. He says, in his days, in whose days? Well, that's in the days of Ahab. You go back to verse 30 of chapter 16 of 1 Kings. It says, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. If you want to stand out for doing something, don't be standing out because you're the worst. And that's exactly what Ahab did. And it says, you know, and it came to pass as if it were a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And that's when we start our text here. In his days did Heel, the Bethlehemite, build Jericho. Now, that's bad. That's bad. Again, it was bad times. People were not trusting the Lord. I mean, all the way from the king himself, the leader of the country, was not following God. And you didn't have that example set forward by the leadership. So you being led by these evil people that are not doing what God wants them to do, it's up to you to say, you know, I'm gonna do what God says. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be faithful to what God is wanting me to do. This man here, Heel, did not do that, though. It's kind of sad. Yeah, the word Heel in the Hebrew means God lives. It's kind of an interesting name for a guy that is rebellious against God. His name is literally God Lives. However, he wasn't portraying the meaning of his name into his life because he was going to do something even though God said not to do it. And I run into this, I've run into this in my ministry where people say, I know God says this, but I think this. Whenever we are in that spot, we need to say, it doesn't matter what I think, it matters what God says, and do what God says, even if it's hard. And so this man, Heel, he decided to build Jericho, to fortify Jericho, to make to build the walls around it. And it says here, he laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. So this man, regardless of what was going to happen, regardless of the consequences, decided he was going to fortify Jericho. And that's exactly what he set out to do. Now, the interesting thing is, this man didn't care about the cost. He was going to do this without any regard for the cost. The cost in this case was all of his kids. Imagine this man as he started to build this city, to build Jericho, to build the walls around it. His oldest son, Abiram, dies. Can you imagine what that would have been like? I mean, I know that would have broke my heart, especially if I knew that I was the cause of it. That would have broke my heart. But again, this man didn't care. He was bent on success. And there are so many times you see people that are bent on success. They don't care about the cost. They don't care what their wife thinks. They don't care what their kids think. They don't care what their decisions are going to do to their family. They're so bent on success that they are going to chase the dollar. They're going to chase what they consider as their dream that's not part of their family. And there's nothing wrong with being successful. The Bible is not against you being successful. The Bible is not against a person making money, for that matter. You read the book of Ecclesiastes. You read the book of Proverbs. God has no problem with a man or woman, yeah, going out there and working and earning a decent, honest wage. That is not a problem. And God is not against that. Don't let anybody fool you or trick you into thinking that, it's either poor or nothing. I mean, that's not the point. Again, at the same time, our goal in this earth is not to be rich. That's not the goal. This world is not our home. This world is not our final destination. We need money to operate. Money is a tool. Money is something that God gives us to use while we're here and to be faithful with. But it's not our God. It's not our ends, and it's not what solves our problems. God's what solves our problems. The Lord solves our problems. Faith in the Lord, trust in the Lord, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says he is the only way to heaven. He is the truth, the way, and the life. And the Bible says no man cometh unto the Father but through him, through Jesus. He is our all in all. But he gives us resources on this earth to use for him while we're here. And while we're here, we glorify him with those things that God created, that God made for us to glorify him with. And he didn't care about that. What he wanted, he wanted success. He wanted a name for himself. I don't know all the reasons why he did this. This is the only place in the Bible this man and his sons are mentioned. There's other people by the name of Abiram in the Bible. There's even another guy by the name of Segub, but it's a different guy. It's a different person. This is the only place this Heel is mentioned here, but it's all we need to know about him. He did not care about the important things. He traded in the spiritual for the material. And again, you remember what the words of Jesus said. It said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What's all these things? All the things that you need. God's going to take care of you. God's going to make sure that you're not starving to death if that's what his will is for you. I mean, God is good. We have a good God that is so good to us. And again, if you're having hard times, trust in the Lord. Take your petition to God. I do not believe God will let you down. God is a great God. Every time I've needed him, he has been there for me. But this man here, Hiel, it says here, he laid the foundation in Abiram, his firstborn. So picture, he lays the foundation and his oldest son dies. He keeps on working on it. He doesn't stop for that. He doesn't let that bother him. He doesn't let that detain him. He doesn't let that obstacle hold him back. He has a goal. He has success on his mind. And so he keeps on going. He keeps on going on the things that he wants to do, living his life as, him being the one in charge instead of the Lord being the one in charge. And so he keeps on going. And again, I believe that what it's talking about here is the fact that all of his kids in between. Again, it doesn't specifically say that, but we see the firstborn would be killed, would die at the foundation being laid. And the last one, the youngest, there when the gates were hung. And again, I mean, by implication, you have all of them dying throughout the thing. But even if it was the first and the last and that was it, I mean, still, that's horrible. But picture this man. He plods on through with his work that will only last during this lifetime. And his children are paying the cost. His children are paying the price. And again, that's not any different. If you decide to be a bank robber, you go out there and rob a bunch of banks or whatever evil thing you want to do, what's going to happen? Your family's going to pay the price. If you decide you're going to go get on drugs or something, your family's going to pay the price. If you're going to hit the bottle, your family's going to pay the price. If you're going to cheat on your wife, your family is going to pay the price. You're going to destroy them. You're going to destroy yourself along with it. Again, it's not a ride you want to go on. It's not something you want to do because God has bigger plans for you. If you're still here, you're under the sound of this voice, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. What you need to realize is that you need him. You need a relationship with him. You need to ask Jesus to save you. You need to trust him to be your savior. Realize that he died on the cross for your sins and that only trusting in him is the only thing that's going to save you. When he died on the cross, he paid for the sin of the world. The Bible says the sin of the world, sin in its entirety. He paid for the whole thing, all sin, past, present, and future. He paid for it. What you have to do is ask him to save you. You have to ask him to include you in on that. And he will. He says, whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's something that just thrills my heart because I know it's true. I know that God is faithful to his word. He always is. He always has been. But again, if your life is just bent on pleasure in this life, if your whole focus, if your whole goal is just to gain this world, you're going to be sadly mistaken because one day you're going to realize that's all you've been living for. And there was so much more that could have been. My heart goes out to the people that do not believe that God exists, because according to your viewpoint, all you have is this life. And one day you're going to be in the grave. One day you are going to be in a casket, or they're going to take you and then they're going to burn your ashes up and put it in a jar somewhere. I mean, your life is not going to remain on this earth. Your purpose is not just life on this earth. It doesn't end here. You see, if you do not make a decision for Christ, there is going to be a judgment to face. When you die from this earth, you are either going to be two places. You're either going to be with God or separated from God. And my friend, you do not want to be separated from God. Read the Bible. You will see exactly what it says. It is very explicit on it. It is very specific on it. God does not mince words. He says exactly what's going to happen. But he also says that he's made a way for you. He has provided salvation for you. You can have salvation in his name. You can trust in Jesus, and Jesus will save you. And so, again, what is your purpose in life? What does God want you to do? Give in to what he wants you to do. Soften your heart for a moment and receive the Lord. Realize you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin, and that you can be saved, and he will save you. He is so good like that. But it has been a blessing to be here today and to be able to share a little bit with God's word, to share a little bit with our work in Argentina that we plan on being down there and doing. Again, pray for us. Remember us in prayer. ArgentinaBaptist.org is our website. And Neville's Chapel Baptist Church is our sending church. You know, P.O. Box 1334, Mount Pleasant, Texas, 75455. And I will be praying for you. And if we bump into each other along life's travels here on this earth, I have no problem in the world sharing God's word with you as we look at what God says.